Hello, everyone. I am District 4 Commissioner Marlene Foscue, and you are listening to Better Together with Commissioner Foscue, where my guests and I share ideas and discuss issues impacting Gwinnett County. Hello, wherever you are listening, thank you for joining us. In today's episode, I am sitting down with Chief Magistrate Judge Christina Bloom and with Home First Gwinnett Director Matt Elder to discuss Project Reset. I would like to welcome Chief Magistrate Christina Bloom and Home First Gwinnett Director Matt Elder. Thank you for coming today.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
So before we talk about Project Reset, let's get to know our guests just a little bit better. Many of you may be already familiar with Matt Elder because he was here on our first episode. So Matt, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm the director for Home First Gwinnett, which is a local initiative to fight homelessness here in Gwinnett County as part of the United Way. I am a local here to Gwinnett County. I grew up here, went to school here, and I'm now raising my family with my beautiful wife here in Lawrenceville. So I'm passionate about our community, passionate about the work that I do, and passionate about making sure that every single person here has the same opportunities as I had when I was growing up here.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Chief Bloom, the same thing with you.
Well, I live in Peachtree Corners. I have two kids, one that graduated from Norcross High School, and she's at Georgia Tech. Go Jackets. My son is sophomore at Norcross, so we're proud Gwinnett family. I have been working for Gwinnett County now for 22 years. I started in the law department, and I was appointed to the magistrate court kind of quickly out of there. And I've been the chief judge for 8 years. And I'm super proud and excited to serve magistrate court because I think our court, more than any other, serves people who need solutions and need resources the most. So I'm excited to talk to you today about Project Reset.
Okay, that sounds interesting. But before we get into the conversation, I always have to ask a little personal question. What is your personal attribute, each one of you, that really gets you moving? Like, what drives you? And I'm going to start off just by saying mine, so you won't say the same one, hopefully, that mine is compassion. I absolutely love people, and I strive daily. Doesn't always happen, but I strive to be kind to people and generous. So mine is compassion, and that gets me going in the morning. What about y'all?
So Judge Bloom may say that it's my quirky coffee order, but my attribute that actually really drives me is that I have to find a solution. I love thinking out problems, whether they're simple or complex, and I'm always driving towards what the solution looks like and then trying to figure out what the next solution is on top of that and constantly wanting to evolve and adapt. And there's, you know, no such thing as settling for status quo in the work that I do and the work that we do here in the community. So that's kind of what drives me and gets me motivated every single day.
So because you like to solve solutions, do you do those crossword puzzles and things like that too?
I try. My wife is much better at it as an English teacher here in Gwinnett County, but okay, she helps me out. But we will do those, and you watch Jeopardy and trivia shows like that, just passions of ours.
All right. That's very interesting. I kind of like run for those. I can't figure it out, I'll be honest. But Judge Bloom, what about yourself?
I think I'm kind of known for what seems to be a relentless and sometimes bordering on annoying level of energy. You guys who know me, I mean, you know me as Christina, both of you, I know we're trying to be, but I grew up in the military, and when I found Gwinnett County, my husband of 26 years, we chose to live in Gwinnett County because of the vibrantly inclusive community we have, and it reminds me of so many. I grew up living all over the United States, and to have the opportunity to plant roots here gives me a big sense of community, and that community gives me purpose every morning, and I enjoy the mission and having a purpose and being able to contribute. And I think that's what keeps me going.
Okay. And one more question, because I do know that you have a lot of energy. How do you balance your life? You just mentioned what you do. You just mentioned your family and your daughters. How are you balancing everything?
I will tell you, I mean, it's another podcast for another day, but I bought a camper through the pandemic and it's been my new thing. But I really, honestly, I love my job. I don't watch much TV. I don't do any social media, which makes me like an 85-year-old woman. And I try to find, you know, time where I can. I love to play guitar. I love to sew. I'll think a lot of people in the building have Christina Bloom masks.
I didn't know that.
I'll make you one. But you have to find the balance. And I think particularly in this pandemic as well, I mean, my court is a 24/7 court and we've worked through this whole thing. You have to find those moments of peace. So I think the balance comes from, again, if you have a real sense of purpose, coming to work doesn't feel like work. Mm-hmm. So everything else just kind of works out.
Okay. Well, thank you. So these questions are for either one of you, but let's start off talking about what is Project Reset? What is Project Reset?
Yeah, so Project Reset is an eviction intervention program that was designed to deal with the fallout of evictions that have occurred due to COVID-19. It is graciously funded by the county, and thank you so much for the support on that. And it's a partnership between the government, Home First Gwinnett, and the magistrate court to identify people who are under the threat of eviction due to COVID-19 and to provide rental assistance for them to pay what they owe in arrears to try and prevent the eviction and ultimately also to prevent them from potentially becoming homeless.
Okay. And what is the magistrate's court responsibility? What is your involvement in this partnership?
Well, I think, and I know we'll probably get into it a little bit, but the three of us are Project Reset, and don't sell yourself short, Commissioner Foscue, because it would not have worked without you.
Absolutely.
I think the project in identifying that there's CARES Act funding out there that the federal government provides to us, we knew we had to figure out how to spend it before it has to go back to the federal government. And my court handling the bulk of evictions, I have the absolute, I know who's about to be rendered homeless.
Right.
So knowing that and trying to figure out how to be more solution-based as a justice model without impeding on people's, how cases go, it's not about the law. It's just about making solutions accessible to people who we know are in a posture of about to be rendered homeless. So when we started back with evictions, because we have to, I mean, that's also the law. Landlords have rights, tenants have rights, and we have to move these cases. I brought both of you into court and said, let's figure this out. And I think the magistrate court, we were able to create the pipeline.
Yes.
And identify the people who needed the assistance the most and figure out how to navigate the eviction process in a way that gives people the opportunity to solve the problem before we have to issue a writ.
Okay. So do you know whether people who may be in need, can they avail themselves to this program without being in the eviction process? Can they just say, we just want to do this? Is it for anyone?
Yeah, so anyone who is currently in a state of behind on their rent at any state, whether they have an active eviction filing, they filed the CDC moratorium, or they're simply just behind by a couple of months and they're on a payment plan or potentially apartment complex is just waiting to potentially file on them. We know, and the judge will get into the numbers in just a moment, that there may be a dearth of people who are potentially at risk of eviction who haven't had a filing happen on them yet that may be waiting until January 1. The reason we designed Project Reset to be an eviction intervention program versus just a prevention program was to have the flexibility the funding provides to attack the issue in a rather indiscriminate way so we could see the entire field and play across all those different spectrums are, because there's multiple layers to when somebody is behind on their rent, protected by a moratorium or has an active eviction filing or has been on default. And we wanted the ability and flexibility to address that across the entire spectrum of the issue, as opposed to just focusing on one or two of those lanes. And I know the judge would love to talk about the numbers and what kind of led to us making that decision.
The first thing I don't want you to do is sell yourself short, because Matt and I identified the active dispossessory cases. We had a phased approach to identifying cases where homelessness was imminent because the case, an answer had been filed in a dispossessory action and certain timeframes under the law had to be followed where that case would be on a calendar. And if you have not paid your rent, there's no hardship excuse in the law. You're going to get evicted because that's just the law. So we identified those as our phase one cases. And then our phase two cases were cases in a little bit of a different procedural posture where no answer had been filed. So they were in a default position or default posture, but the writ of possession had not issued on behalf for the landlord yet. So we said these are the two cases we can target. And when we say target, my court has the names of all these people. So we created this protocol and we worked really hard on the pipeline and the logistics of it all. Mm-hmm. And we reached out to those people directly. But then we brought you in and you said, you guys aren't thinking big enough. So you told us.
I represent the county.
I know, but your thinking was even bigger than ours. And you said, I know we can do it. And you were correct, and here's why. Because in my numbers, and what Matt keeps alluding to, is the fact that in Gwinnett County, every year, I've been the chief judge for 8 years, and we have about 25,000 evictions a year. And that really, in a county of a million people, doesn't seem, and it stays pretty steady. Mm-hmm. This year, when I first ran my numbers, because we soft started this project maybe about 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, selling it and kind of vetting it. It officially launched about 3 weeks ago. But in one of the things we noticed is about the beginning of it, my dispossessory filings, the eviction filings were down by about 40%. Wow. So what that tells me is that you were right, is because there are a lot of cases, and it requires kind of an explanation in the law. In the eviction world, a landlord cannot accept any part of rent that's due and owing if that landlord wants to proceed with the eviction. Mm-hmm. So a lot of our landlords with the CDC declaration have chosen to take payment plans. So if they have a payment plan, the person still may stay behind on their rent, but they know that with the CDC declarations, things like that, the likelihood of getting a rent is not as strong. So they might be waiting to file those evictions once that kind of clears, those barriers to them filing the eviction clear. Well, the problem Matt and I noticed right away in kind of forming our little partnership is the fact that the money is going to go away. And the money might be gone when that wave of pre-evictions happens.
Right.
So you were like, hey, guys, you can figure this out. And we're like, we can figure this out. And your leadership and guidance helped us eliminate a lot of the barriers. I know Matt will talk about, because he talks about that more eloquently than I do. But the numbers are down for dispossessories, which shocks people when I tell them. But when I explain why, it doesn't really shock them, because the landlords are accepting whatever they can right now. Mm-hmm. And then when these barriers or impediments to actually the process of eviction go away, simultaneously with the fact that some of our resource funding from the federal government will go away, then we're stuck. Right. So we had to, as part of the project. Now, I will say we phased it. We had phase one, which we knew homelessness was imminent because the cases were on calendars. Phase two, which were our default. And phase three were going to be the pre-evictions. But then when the press release hit, the phases became nonlinear.
Yes.
And we were able to address, as long as we have a completed application, and they meet the criteria for the program, which is a very low barrier, then we will talk to them. And we handle them differently.
Well, that leads into my next question about the criteria. But one of the things I wanted to make sure that we also note is that Gwinnett County as a whole, we really do care about our residents.
For sure.
We definitely want to be there to be able to help at any point that we can. And this was just an opening to do something we've never done before. And so that's what we strive to do in Gwinnett County, is to set high standards and then see if we can meet them
and collaborate.
And collaborate. Yeah. We believe in partnerships, and without the two of y'all, there wouldn't be a program.
Without you, there wouldn't be a program.
So we thank you. I know it sounds like we're giving each other kudos, but really it's all about the residents, and it's all about what can we do to help serve our residents in Gwinnett County. So when you mentioned the criteria just now, and I know it might not be a huge criteria, but what is some of the criteria?
Matt?
Yeah, so when we talked about the program, whether the judge and I or all three of us, or, you know, just talk about it in general, we really wanted to focus on the idea that we wanted to be a low barrier, high impact program. Mm-hmm. We looked at different kinds of eviction prevention and intervention programs from across the metro area, across the country in different areas, and really tried to pick some of the best things. And at the end of the day, we really wanted to focus on what would make the best program for Gwinnett and the residents here. And that meant that we wanted to not have any kind of an income limit or cap on the amount of arrears in terms of financial cap. We know that this virus has attacked our community indiscriminately.
Absolutely.
And so we wanted to address a solution to that problem also indiscriminately in terms of how we went about it, how we gone about. So we worked with the county's grants department to really focus on what are the minimum requirements of regulation that we had to meet or to be compliant and move forward, because we know everything we require from a documentation standpoint is just another barrier for somebody who they may not be able to get services. So really, we boil it down to the tenant has to be able to provide documentation that they're a legal resident here in the United States. Mm-hmm. They have to be able to give us a copy of their lease. They have to be able to show they have a COVID-19 impact that can be documented. So that could be that they got sick, or they were quarantined from contract tracing, they lost their job, they were furloughed, or if they work in the service industry, maybe the demand for their services went down, and that can be documented through time cards or pay stubs, stuff like that. And then from the landlord side, it's simply providing that you proof of the owner, proof of ownership, copy of the lease to make sure we're given a redundancy check, the leases match up, and then a general ledger and tax ID. So it's a remote application, and those documentations also required to enroll the program and begin the process in terms of getting a settlement on your rental arrears.
Wow. That does sound like a low barrier.
It is. And the grants department for the county was amazing because what people, and Matt and I have been asked by other, we just were on a call today with Clayton County saying, how did you guys figure this out? And I said, well, it was the collaboration, but it's all the teeny tiny things like figuring out. We knew that it was only going to be successful if the checks went directly to the landlord.
Right. Yep.
And they had to go fast. Right. Because if a landlord has to wait 2 or 3 months, that's not solving the problem. Right. So that's where the county stepped in and the grants department and said, get us these, you know, threshold documents. Because it's still the requirements that Matt mentioned aren't Matt, Christina, Marlene mm-hmm. requirements. Those are requirements that are tied to the federal funding. Right. So people might want, why do you have to be a citizen? I mean, there are some requirements we have to follow because those requirements follow the money that was gifted to the county to spend in accordance with the COVID guidelines. So I want to be clear about that. But when the money, if you can't flip a switch and get them paid out quick, waiting another 2-3 months, that's when they haven't been paid any rent in 3 or 4 months is a problem. So the clever idea was to turn kind of the landlord to fill out a couple forms and treat them like a vendor to get paid. And just figuring out how to get access to the money was an amazing thing. And that's where the county stepped in and really gave us, the opportunity to really do the project, because without being able to access those funds in a low barrier way. And I think that's been, I think you would agree, a trick to all of this has been the fact that people are having a hard time trying to spend the money in a correct way. So the great thing about this project from a responsibility factor, and I'm a government official and I know you are, is the fact that it is eminently credible to spend the money in the arenas of eviction, because we know there's no question that homelessness is imminent. So people say it's a homelessness project. It's not. It's really eviction intervention, because we're trying to maintain people in their homes. I'm trying to keep them where they are, prevent them from being homeless. And that's another requirement of the program, is that they have to have time left on the lease. What we don't do is we don't renegotiate leases or anything like that.
Okay.
And if they're ultimately evicted, that's when not Project Reset, but Home First can step in and provide wraparound services to people who, you know, if your lease has expired and you just haven't moved, that's not going to be a Project Reset case.
Right.
But it's been kind of amazing. One of the things we did is Matt and I, pretty much every dispossessory calendar for 6 weeks would go in there and it's like, hi, I'm Christina Bloom and Matt Elder. We have our show and we made you come with us one time. Mm-hmm. And we said, this is what we're here to talk about. And it almost said, it sounds too good to be true. And I'm like, it is. And I did that intentionally too, to make sure that my lawyers and the landlord, tenant arena, that nobody had any, like, does something feel wrong? And I haven't had a single complaint about the process we created. You know, they try to nudge us a little bit, like, can you cover this? And like, no, we can only cover past due rent. We can't cover late fees or any contractually created funding.
So can you share a little bit about the settlement negotiation?
Yeah, so once we're able to get the documentation to confirm eligibility for the tenant and the landlord, we go to the landlord and, you know, first thing they are aware of when they apply is that we don't pay late fees or interest or anything like that. We try and keep it strictly just the rental arrears. And we go to them and we say, you know, we negotiate it down and try and take a haircut, not half or even three quarters, you know, 10, 15, 20%.
Because it's not like buying a car.
No. So because for us, it's about the fact that we want every penny of the money to go as far as possible.
And absolutely.
And a lot of these cases, a lot of these landlords are more than eager to want to, you know, come to some kind of an agreement because they haven't been paid in many, many months. Mm-hmm. And they're in a bad spot. Some of them have mortgages that are in forbearance because they haven't been able to get the rental revenue in and can't pay the mortgage on those properties. And so in addition to the maintaining the stability in housing and preventing the homelessness, what this is also doing is it's actually going to be injecting millions of dollars into the local economy by simply providing the landlords with the revenue they otherwise would have been able to collect if it wasn't for the COVID-19 pandemic and the impacts from that.
So what happens if a tenant and a landlord doesn't agree? what happens in that kind of situation.
So when the settlement attempts fail, we report to the court weekly mm-hmm. of all our status updates. The settlement does fail, then it goes back to the we do talk every day. It goes onto the disposition calendar. From a home first perspective, we get out of project reset mode and we go back into our coordinated entry system mode that we talked about in episode one. Mm-hmm. And we focus on the fact that this person is imminently going to become homeless. So what are the solutions? We begin to have them do an application process and begin our assessments to get them in line. So that way we try and ensure that at no point in time that somebody has to be faced with a situation where they're sleeping outside or in their cars, just that we can always try and find some kind of a sheltering solution or something at least temporary if we can't stop the dispossession.
Wow, that is so interesting. But what we're going to do, because this is a great conversation, is to take a break so that we can have some announcements that for things that are happening or going on in Gwinnett County. And then we will be right back after these important messages.
The county wants to hear your thoughts on the 2021 proposed budget, which was unveiled by Chairman Nash in November. The $1.91 billion budget is a 3.7% increase from the 2020 budget and focuses on the Board of Commissioners' strategic priorities, including a safe and healthy community and smart and sustainable government. A public hearing will take place December 9th at the Gwinnett Justice and Administration Center, where residents are invited to learn more and provide feedback. Commissioners will continue to take public comments online at gwinnettcounty.com through the end of the year. The board will consider the final budget at their first meeting in January.
Russell, thank you so much for those announcements. They're very helpful to all of our residents. So now we're going to turn around and go back and continue our conversation with Project Reset. How do you think the pandemic affected tenants? How do you think they did? I know you shared a little bit earlier, but is there anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing from a tenant perspective is that it took everything and just kind of shook it up. So that way, you know, people who had never before thought about having to deal with evictions or housing insecurity are suddenly having to try and navigate the system of human services. People who never expected to have to be in a food line of any kind are now suddenly having to look for where the local food pantry is and what time are they open and stuff like that. And so from a tenant perspective, this pandemic has caused a shakeup that was not only unprecedented, but completely unforeseen. And so a lot of them are in moments of crisis. And one of the most important things from my perspective in terms of the work we're doing with Project Reset and the partnership with the county and the courts has been to be here week in and week out on the days of the disposition mm-hmm. hearings, because we are catching people that otherwise would have fallen through gaps within the existing system who had no idea what organizations provide eviction help, what rental assistance looks like, or how they even begin that conversation. And by being on the ground, providing place-based services has changed the way that we are able to look at it and address the issue altogether. And the partnership with the courts is a huge part of that, with the targeting and be able to build that consistent pipeline mm-hmm. of people. So we're really closing the gaps on what it means to provide these services here in the county.
So what happens if a tenant gets in arrears again? Do we help out somebody we just provided funds to earlier?
Well, I'll tell you a little bit of the philosophy of the project. Matt and I kind of think about it. I think we think about it differently than some other agencies that are trying to address it. One thing is we like to say we play the long, I keep saying we play the long game, in that Project Reset, what happens and what we've seen is a lot of these tenants have fallen behind and they just can't catch back up. So Project Reset catches them back up to the date on which we, and everybody agrees, and we bring them in on what I call a red carpet calendar if they work out a settlement, and both sides dismiss any claims they may have against each other, and they agree that all the amounts owed were square. We hit the reset button, and then they go on, and the tenant now has to pay going forward. But what we've seen is the burden of the past due rent and never being able to catch up has been the struggle. Okay. So the other thing that in we know that some tenants are still going to be dispossessed. But if we can settle it up through Project Reset, one of the things that can't be lost is Gwinnett County, what are we, the second biggest county, I think?
Yes.
Our affordable housing portfolio is not quite the same as some of our metro brothers and sisters, right? So part of the project and the intentionality of it is to really inject the money. We need to protect our affordable housing portfolio. Because a lot of these landlords, we're not talking about the mega conglomerate properties that have thousands of units. Mm-hmm. A lot of the people we're seeing have small, like they're small little rental businesses, property management companies. So by being able to square up a lot of their past due rent, we're protecting that affordable housing base. Because if that goes away, then there's no affordable housing.
That's true.
So we've conceptualized a play in the long game. So ultimately, some tenants may not, even after they catch up, they may go into arrears and get dispossessed. But here's what we also have given them. They're not going to be dispossessed with a monster judgment, because through the bulk of the pandemic, they've accrued $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 in past due rent. So if you're a tenant without Project Reset and you're ultimately dispossessed maybe in January, you could easily have a $10,000 judgment because you didn't pay any rent. Project Reset, if we catch you up, we've covered that. And again, we can't stress enough, this was for the landlords too. We've got to protect our affordable housing base. So we've done that. But then if you're ultimately dispossessed, your past due rent arrearage is not the same. So it makes it more possible for you to rehome yourself. And that's what we try to think about. And the project is not just tenant focused. It's trying to protect the whole of the community by also recognizing that any eviction intervention project also has to make sure we're keeping an eye on our affordable housing options and making sure they don't go under. Because if they're gone, then where's anybody going to live, right? So that was, I think, part of what we've been trying to sell to other people and say, look, you know, we know that some tenants are going to be dispossessed, but are we putting them in a better position? Absolutely. Are we helping them rehome if they need to? But a lot of the people we've talked to, and they cry, and we go in there, and it feels so good to be able to help somebody who's just stuck.
Absolutely.
Just catching them up and catching our landlords up. They've cried too. Has been the hand up that people need.
And so that leads into my other question. You know, with Thanksgiving getting ready to happen, to me, my word for this month is gratitude.
Yes.
So have you received any type of information, any testimonies from anyone who have gone through the program or anything from the tenants and landlords? That's what I kind of want to hear, just to make sure. And to me, I'm not saying that we did this so that we can get a thank you, but I just wanted to understand some of the people that may have gone through this challenging time. Did they show any gratitude for this?
We got an email from our very first settlement. It was crazy how it happened. Someone called and said, are you guys doing evictions right now? And I'll go, yeah, we have to. It's the law. I mean, we can't not do them. Because again, landlords have rights too. You can't just shutter the courthouse. So we do, by the way, we allow video options and we space out our calendars. We have more calendars. So we're doing the best we can within our protocols to keep people safe in the courthouse. But I said, yes, but hold on. I go, we're just about to launch this project. And we forwarded it to this tenant. And the tenant sent us, I forwarded it to you too. She sent this lovely email saying, thank you for, she said, I just needed to get out of the, I was in a hole. And what happened that was crazy with that Matt filled me in on is this young woman said, I was just stuck, I think she's a single mom. And so we pulled her back out of the hole, and the apartment complex she lives in provides affordable housing, and they're a lower income provider. So what happened then is that the landlord in that case, as you wanted us to catch those pre-evictions, the landlord applied and said, I've got these tenants who are also behind.
Oh, really?
So it paid itself forward because the landlord goes, all right, that worked out. But listen, I got four or five other tenants that I'm going to file an eviction on because they're behind. Can you help them too? And that was really a good. That's exactly what's supposed to happen.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, one example, we've been working with a landlord and a tenant for well before Project Reset even started, back since probably August. And we were unable to try and get them assistance through a couple of different opportunities, but this came up. And I just said, if y'all can wait just another week and apply, we can try to make this happen. And they had a significant $8,000 plus judgment. And it's a mom and her kid, and they own one rental property. This is all they had. And the person who they rented to just had lost their entire business and couldn't pay.
Wow.
And so we were able to put them in Project Reset. We were able to get them applications. And as of Monday, they got paid almost $8,000 of arrears that they were owed. And they were so, so happy. And first generation immigrant family, and just so pleased to be able to get
them.
They
didn't get paid.
Well, the landlord got paid. The landlord is.
He's talking about the landlord.
The landlord.
Because the landlord was going to lose the property. Her business was two small rental properties or one?
It was two. They had one property. They had owned two homes, one was rental. But the family they had rented to lost their entire business. And gotcha. So the landlord was at risk of losing the property if we weren't able to pay the arrears. And they did get their arrears payment this week, which has made them just beyond thrilled because they had no idea what else they were going to do. And we literally saved that property. And they're so, so thankful. So it's been a lot of successes. And we're looking forward to many, many more over the coming weeks through the end of the year.
It's a lot, though. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I've described it as, because you said to me, spend all this money so we don't have to send it back.
These are our
citizens.
Right. These are U.S. Treasury dollars through the CARES yes. Act. And so since it was granted to Gwinnett County, we want to make sure that we utilize it for all of our citizens. So
you are
I'm
so
sure
yeah.
that we have other funds that we can, we will continue to spend out of that. So this has been great. We're about to wrap it up, but I remember when we started the conversation, you mentioned that there were some numbers that Judge Bloom was going to share, or did you share those already?
I think it was we were talking about the 25, that my 40% is okay. lower, and we were waiting on the pre-evictions, but I think we targeted, our phase one target was 400 cases that we had active, and we've reached out to all of those, mm-hmm. and I don't want you to end this podcast without saying that this would not have worked without you.
Yeah.
It's teamwork.
It is.
It's one of the things
but
that
you're
we
being
did.
Very, we brought you in and you're a doer and I appreciate you.
Thank you.
You were able to help us figure out how to access the funding. So it would not have worked without you. So you are Project Reset too.
Thank you. And I appreciate that. But I just wanted to remind, maybe just do a summary of some of the things that we heard this afternoon. We talked about today how community and our courts came together to help prevent evictions. That's huge. We were interested, and if anyone is interested in learning more, they can call 770-847-6765, or they can email magistratecourtprojectreset@gwinnettcounty.com. This was a very informative, but more than that, hearing the stories and putting a human element on it, that's the most important thing, because in each one of our roles, whether it's government, nonprofit, or the judicial system, we all want to make sure that we do our part in helping our residents in the best way that we can. And so I hope you enjoyed this episode of Better Together with Commissioner Foscue, and I hope you gained some insight into Project Reset and how it is helping educate the homelessness in our communities. I'd like to thank Judge Bloom and Matt for sharing their vision for this important project. And most of all, I would like to thank you, our listeners, for caring about Gwinnett County. You can follow or subscribe to our podcast to keep up with new episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or the podcast platform of your choice. You can also watch the video version of this podcast. And until next time, always remember, we are much better working together. Thank you.